right. So I got asked to speak a month ago, and I couldn't do it, unfortunately. So I got asked to do it this month. And Scott was like, you can either do your testimony or something that's like been on your heart, on your mind. And I was thinking about it. I had a month to think about it. And I was like, I know this is like a really commonly said thing, but I was like, I have a pretty boring testimony. I mean, it's like pretty typical of a church, growing up in a church, like the usual, get baptized, took a few years till caught on to like what I'm actually supposed to do. But I didn't know, I didn't have anything like super like powerful to say. But I went to a retreat with Mill Creek, my girlfriend's church, and I have like two things to say from that like really stuck in my mind. I've been thinking about a lot recently since that. It's a couple of weeks ago. But just to give a little backstory, the guy speaking was a missionary, and it's a really cool story. He went to be a school teacher. He's from our area too, and he went to be a school teacher, and he had two kids and his wife. They're both young, and they felt like we should like go into missionary training. So they did that, and then they felt like, oh, it's time to go to Papua New Guinea. And they're like, well, that's like really far away. Like, we don't want to do that. We like our jobs. Like, he like loves teaching. And he's like, all right, so we'll do what you say. And they went to Papua New Guinea, and they went through Ethnos 360. It wasn't that at the time, but it feels like discipleship training, something or other. Anyways, they went through that, and they got asked to pretty much go in the middle of nowhere to a random tribe that hasn't been reached by God. And they're like, well, we have like no like blue-collar experience. We don't know how to build a house. Like, we know absolutely nothing. They're asking them to start from the ground up. And so, moral of the story, it took them 15 years, but they learned the language, they translated language, they made it a written language because they didn't have a written language. They wrote an entire book, the entire Bible. And then they started a church, a school, and two villages there. And that's like his like life story. And then they're coming back because the village actually was like, he said that's a really cool moment for him, but they were like, we don't know if we can function on our own without you, and so we want you to leave so we can like prove to ourselves that we can do it and can sustain ourselves, and that what we have is real, and that we're not just like feeding off of what you're giving us. And so he's now a pastor at a church in Missouri, I believe. But anyways, he was talking, and he didn't want to be a missionary because his dad was a missionary to some Indians in Argentina, maybe, I think it is. And he was like, I don't want to do that because it didn't seem like him. He wanted to be a teacher. And he ended up using that when he started a school and all that kind of stuff. But it's like, I don't want to do that. But it was Papua New Guinea. He heard that his dad was going to pass away. And so he flew back. I think he said it was like a $4,000 plane ticket to get the whole way back between the boat ride, the private planes to get to a big airport, the airport to go to Tokyo, to Hawaii, California, up to Pennsylvania. And he came back, and I forget what his dad had, but he wasn't mentally right. And he said it was like a couple months before I knew he was going to pass. He was getting really weak. And he asked his dad, like, if you could change anything, like, what would you do? And he was like full clarity, like state of mind. And he was like, I wish I could have gone back and help those people I ministered to. I wish I could have been with them longer and helped them longer. I had more of an impact. He's like, he had to pull out early because he got sick. And he's like, I wish I could have done that. And he said that for him as a missionary at that point, that like really like rocked him. He was like, man, like I need to like continue to pour my heart out into these people. It was kind of like motivation for him. And his challenge was through that, one of the nights he spoke was, who's waiting for you in heaven? When you get to heaven, who's going to be there saying, like, thank you, I would not be here without you. Like, it's God through you, but I would not be here without you. That was a really powerful challenge. He, like, continued to speak after that. And everyone there was, like, kind of, like, speechless. Everyone was like, man, that just, like, hit hard to, like, everyone there. And I thought about it, and I was like, man, that's, like, a really crazy challenge. Like, it's not about, like, your deeds you do. It's not a competition. But, like, how big is your impact? Like, how much do you like shine? How much do you let your light shine? I mean, we're not like missionaries like overseas talking to like a big tribe of 1,000 people. Like, we don't have like that kind of impact, but we still have an impact. I mean, we might not always see it, but I thought that was a really cool just a challenge of how to live our lives, just by how much of an impact we have and who's waiting for you there. I couldn't find a verse, but I'm pretty sure it's a Bible verse. I couldn't find it though, where it's like, when we go to heaven, we'll be greeted one day by people we impacted and our family and loved ones and all our brothers and believers. And I don't know, I thought that was a really cool thing to think about. Another thing you kind of touched on a little bit was like coincidence. You just like briefly brought it up, and I thought about it a little bit, and I was like, coincidence really isn't a thing, or it can't be a thing if with God, because if we believe in coincidence, it takes away any accountability or acknowledgement that the existence of God and that he has a divine touch on the world, and that it can't physically be just coincidence. It's not, it's a real, but it's not an actual thing. Coincidences could be like a miracle, could be a small miracle and just passed off like, oh man, got in that car wreck, we hit the rear of a car, could hit the front, like, oh, it's just coincidence, but God has to have his finger on it, otherwise it takes away from God and his power. I think it's kind of not giving him the honor where he's due and in our lives. Even just like small things, like reading a sign and that like really means something to you. It's not really a miracle at that point, but it was coincidence that you saw that sign and that like made you think like, oh, like, I don't know, something on your heart, or like that reminds me of someone, I need to like say something to at church or an unbeliever. And yeah, just that we think we dismiss divine things far too often, and God is sovereign and all-knowing and all-powerful, and that without, like, there's no physical way for that to happen. Just like, I don't know. I'm not great at this public speaking thing, but yeah, just like, I guess it's kind of a challenge as well, just to like be more on the lookout, just like the little things. I lift at an older guy's gym, and it's for free. He's a really nice guy. He's a believer, and he's like almost like amped up people for God you'll ever meet in your life. He's just like, he brings up God, and he just gets like, you can just tell. He just has super lit up about it, and he's a really cool guy to talk to. And he was like, I was thinking about this coincidence, and he was like, you ever like go on a drive and you're just like driving somewhere and you just see something and you realize something and it's like a coincidence that you see that. And I was like, that's kind of odd. What a coincidence that is. I was like, yeah, it's like, as I've been getting older, I've been realizing like God has more and more, is in touch more and more than you think he is. He's always pulling little strings you may not realize or always notice, but there's just those little things. He's like, just pay attention for those, because sometimes those could be like profound things that affect your life. And he was talking to me a little bit, and his life story is really interesting. He wasn't a believer until he was 42 years old, and his wife wasn't a believer either. And they met at a bar, actually. And he's like, and all his life, his mom told him, like, bars are bad. Like, you never, nothing ever good comes out of a bar. And they have like a really, really strong relationship with God, and they're really involved with their church. And he's like, yeah, it's like a super coincidence. Like, it's like, I went there to listen to some country music that night. My wife was there with some friends because they live close to the bar. And he's like, it just happened. Just like a little coincidence, like, changes your life. You just be on the lookout for those kinds of things. And yeah. And then I have a Bible verse, because I looked up like Bible verses, like the Bible says anything about a coincidence or like, yeah, anything to do with like just like chance things that we might just shrug off as being just like, oh, just happened to work out that way. And there wasn't a whole lot, but nothing like super like black and white, like what I was talking about, is coincidence. But there's a verse in Proverbs 16:33. It says, a lot is cast into the lap, but every decision is from the Lord. Just every little thing is up to the Lord. Whether we're thinking it's random, it's not random because God has his finger on it. So that's just my challenge, I guess, is look for the coincidences and who you're affecting in your everyday life, I guess, is what I'm going with. And yeah, everyone have a great week.